The world is in, how do you call it? It's in shambles, yeah? I mean, it's crazy. Especially the Western world. People are under house arrest. I mean, we are all criminals, eh? They're all placed under house arrest. If you leave your house, you are you're put into prison, eh? Or you have to pay a fine. Eh? There are even some governors in America who call somebody who leaves his house a bioterrorist. I mean, what can... Oh. I just don't understand what is going on. Yeah? I mean, how do they, you know? I mean, 300,000, a little bit more than 300,000 deaths. Huh? You remember 1957? Probably not, because that was the year I was born. There was a pandemic, yeah? It was a flu, yeah? I mean, it was one of these viruses, yeah? A similar virus to the one that is now there, yeah? And it killed 1.1 million people. Did you hear anything on lockdown? No. I mean, the physicians in the hospitals took care of the sick people, you know, and everything went by, yeah? Normally. Yeah? Schools weren't even closed. Maybe in some areas. Yeah? I mean, 1968, there was another pandemic, another flu, a very similar strain of virus, yeah? Just the same kind or similar strain of virus that is now, yeah? In 1968, some people remember, I was 11. There was no school. Oh, I would have loved, you know, if the school would close, yeah? But there was no school closed down, yeah? And it killed 1 million people, yeah? And nobody, you know, nobody took notice of it, yeah? People who were sick went to the doctor, you know, or into the hospital. Some of them died and the others recovered. Most of them recovered. And the recovery rate for the COVID is between 88% and 97%. So, I mean, what is the big deal? Why do they need to lock down? Why do they need the people to lock under house arrest? Yeah? Are they criminals? Yeah. The government treats, you know, its people, yeah? It is actually, we should live in a democracy, yeah? But it's not a democracy at all anymore. Some people have taken over the power of our countries, yeah? And they just do whatever they want to do. It's crazy, yeah? What is it? Yeah, I mean, it's a flu. It's a kind of flu. Yeah? It's a little bit more contagious than the normal flu. I mean, how many people die every year in a flu? And when was the last lockdown? 600,000 people, yeah? Or 500,000, half a million people die in the flu. Yeah? Every year, yeah? And people die of cancer every year. And do they make a lockdown, yeah? No. So what is going on? I mean, I really wonder, yeah? Maybe in 3 or 4 years, I mean, in every kind of crime, you know, you say follow the money, yeah? I mean, who profits from this? Yeah? We have to think about this. You know, in 3 years, you know, probably know, you know, who profited or who instigated all this. And to whose benefit, yeah? Certainly not to the benefit of the common people. But certainly not. Taking away their rights, yeah? All the demonstrations stopped. You know, I mean, you remember in December, you know, all these demonstrations, you know, in Hong Kong, in France, you know, and in so many countries. And now there is no demonstration anymore. How convenient, yeah? But they get us, yeah? And they get us with one thing, with fear of death, yeah? That's how they get the people. That's how they coerce the people, you know, into following stupid rules. Fear of death. If you do that, you die. If you do that, you die. Huh? But we are Buddhists, you know, and we know. I mean, if we are born, we will die. Sooner or later, yeah? And we will die, you know, depending on our karma. When our karma says, you know, we are going to die, that's when we are going to die. And when our karma says, you know, we are going to get sick, you know, seriously sick, not by a flu, then we are going to get sick. And that is implanted in our genes, you know, at the time of our birth. So, I mean, there's nothing that we can help, yeah? If we are there to survive, we will survive. If we are there to die, then we will die, yeah? But that doesn't depend on COVID-19. It doesn't depend on anything, you know, what the government says. You know, it doesn't even depend on war, yeah? It depends only on our karma, yeah? When you look at the Black Death, you know, it didn't eradicate all the people, you know, in Europe, yeah? Lots of millions of people died, you know, 1/3 of the population, I think, died off, yeah? In the Black Death or the pestilence or whatever you call it, yeah? In the, what was it, 15 or 14 or 15th century, something like that, yeah? So not everybody dies, you know, and not everybody dies in a hurricane, not everybody dies in a tsunami, yeah? I mean, there are people who survive it. Not everybody dies in an air crash, yeah? And the people who are not supposed to die will not die. And the people who are supposed to die, no matter, you know, no matter if they lock themselves up at home, yeah, they probably get crazy, you know, a lot of people, you know, get crazy and get suicidal, yeah? And so they kill themselves. What is the point? I mean, we have to reflect about death, yeah? Death comes with birth, yeah? And if we are born, we will die, yeah? And if we are born, you know, we inherit the karma of our previous lives. And this karma defines, you know, what is going to happen to us. Yeah? If we get sick, you know, what kind of sickness we get. You know, if we get ill, you know, what kind of illness we get. If we get cancer, you know, and so on. Or if we get Alzheimer, or if we get Parkinson. I mean, that is all determined by our karma of our previous lives. So, what is it? You know, what shall we take from it? Yeah? Now that we realize, you know, I mean, that we are at the moment that we are planting our karma or planting the seeds for the karma to ripen in our next life, we better do things that are wholesome. Yeah? That is the only solution to the whole problem. First of all, we should not be afraid of death because, I mean, sooner or later death comes. Yeah? There's nobody who's surviving in our human birth. But it is not only for the human beings, you know, that they die. Yeah? Other people, you know, beings, you know, like animals, you know, also die. Yeah? They are also born and die. Yeah? And in the heavenly realms, you know, they appear and disappear. Yeah? You can also call it birth and death, but it is not the same as the human birth or an animal birth. It is appearing and disappearing. So, I mean, in any kind of realm of existence, of the 31 realms of existence, we arise and cease, yeah? And that is normal. If we understand that, you know, what is there to be afraid of death? The only thing that we might be afraid of death is that we are afraid, you know, after our death that we go to hell. And that is most likely for most of the people, yeah? We have done enough bad karma, you know, or lots of people have done enough bad karma, so they will go to hell for a long time, or some of them only for a short time. And then after the hell, or the prison time is over, I call it prison because, I mean, it's the same thing, yeah? I mean, we have, you know, people commit burglary, you know, and they're in prison, you know, for 4 or 5 years, yeah? People commit, you know, commit a murder, you know, in prison for 20 or 25 years, yeah? And after that, they come out of the prison, yeah? We do bad things, you know, I mean, we don't keep the 5 precepts, and then we know, I mean, we are going to hell for a certain amount of time, depending on what we did, yeah? If it wasn't that bad, you know, I mean, we might only stay for a week or 2 weeks, you know? If it was really bad, you know, we might stay for centuries, or we might even stay there for thousands of years. Yeah? So the only solution to the whole problem is, you know, I mean, from now on we keep the 5 precepts, yeah? We keep the 5 precepts and don't let us influence, you know, by the fear of death, yeah? Because we know, I mean, we are going to die. Yeah? sooner or later. That is the nature of our, that is the nature of our existence, and that is the nature of any existence. That's why I often say in the morning to the Thai people, yeah, if you don't want to die, you don't get born. Yeah? And there's only one solution how to not to get born is to walk the path that the Lord Buddha gave us, the path to the end of dukkha, or the path to eternity, or nibbana, or whatever you want to call it. And that is keeping the five precepts, yeah? Samadhi, training ourselves in samadhi, and you see how difficult it is, yeah? How often does the mind go out, yeah? It goes out here, think about that, thinks about the future, yeah? And wants to put all this garbage into it that in our meditation, you know, we have to put out again. Knowing about this, wanting to know about this, you know, what is happening. And this garbage we have to put out again. So, the training of samadhi, it's an important factor in our life, and that's why we are actually ordained as a monk, yeah? I mean, it is reglementary, you know, that we keep the five precepts, or for us as monks, the 227 precepts, yeah? And that's fine, okay, finished, yeah? Now we start with the practice of samadhi. Every thought that comes in is replaced by the Buddha or with the attention on the breath. Every memory that comes up, you know, is replaced with the Buddha or with the attention on the breath until the mind gets completely calm. When the mind stops thinking and memorizing, you know, it is happy. Yeah? And that's what we have to experience. We have to see that there is a happiness, not the happiness that we can experience in the world, but a much deeper happiness and much more satisfying happiness or peacefulness or whatever you want to call it, yeah? I mean, that it depends on the character of each person, you know, when he enters samadhi, you know, what he experiences. Some people, you know, I mean, they're running tears down the cheek, you know, other people are just just really happy, other people are just peaceful, and other people are just calm. That depends on the characteristic of each person. But that's where we see, you know, I mean, when we are completely satisfied in this moment, and we really have to reflect on it a little bit more often, when we come out of samadhi, we realize that there was no wanting. Huh? And then the moment we come out of samadhi, then we realize there is wanting. And this wanting creates a dukkha. We want this, you know, and we want that. And that's why we are not happy. That's why we are not comfortable anymore. We are not satisfied. We are dissatisfied with the way things are. Instead of, yeah, being satisfied with the way things are. But in order to achieve that state of being satisfied with the way things are, I mean, we have to get rid of the kilesas who constantly tell us what to do and what we want and what we don't want, yeah? And get rid of our views and opinions, you know, that say the world should be like this, or the world should be like that, or this person should be like this, or should be behaving like this or like that, yeah? We have to get rid of these things because they create dukkha. If we see a person, you know, and we are happy, you know, that doesn't mean that we cherish what this person is doing, yeah. But we are happy with the way things are, yeah. Then we have achieved a state of complete peacefulness and satisfaction. But as long as we want to change this or change that, yeah, we are not happy with this or we are not satisfied with that. Yeah, that's where all this dukkha comes from. And that's why we first have to get into samadhi to see that there is a state, the moment where we don't want anything, where we are happy, where we are completely satisfied. And when we come out, we have to recollect that. We were completely satisfied and we realized that there was no wanting. There was no desire. And wanting can be in both ways, yeah? It can be wanting to have something or wanting to not have something. Yeah? Or getting rid of something. It's all wanting. Yeah? So in that state of samadhi, yeah, and that is what we have to train, and we have to train it either with the Buddha or with the breath, yeah? being the mental repetition of the word Buddha, knowing that the Buddha is fast, knowing that the Buddha is slow, knowing that the Buddha is steep, or knowing that the Buddha is shallow. This knowingness is an important thing that we have to also develop while we're doing our samadhi. The knowing state of the mind, or the knowing state of the citta. Knowing. I mean, the citta knows all time long. Yeah? The citta knows if there's a sensation coming in. Yeah? I mean, and it is happy with it. It doesn't need to have a label on this sensation. Is this kind of sensation or that kind of sensation? Because that is the function of memory. Yeah, I mean, it instantly labels. The moment memory comes in, you know, I mean, it puts a label on something, and then suddenly fear or anger or lust or this or that arises, and then we are really in trouble. Yeah? So if we just experience the things as they are without putting any labels on it, yeah, without, you know, classifying this as being this or being that, this is a snake or this is a rat or this is a tukke or gecko or whatever it is, yeah, or a snail, yeah, or a toad or whatever, yeah. I mean, we still see it, but we don't have to put a label on it. Because if you don't put a label on it, there's no, the memory doesn't provoke thoughts and other memories, and no feelings are coming up, and no emotions are arising. We're just seeing the things as they are. And that is very difficult for us. That's what we have to learn, that's what we have to train. We have to train ourselves, yeah, be it with the Buddha, or the same holds true for the breath, yeah? Staying with the breath, knowing that the breath is going in, knowing that the breath is going out, but staying at one point, around the tip of the nose, yeah? Just like we stay with the one point, the Buddha, yeah? And then starting to know the quality of the breath, or knowing the quality of the Buddha, until the mind is completely calm. Once it is calm and there's no more thoughts, I mean, there's no past, there's no future, there's actually no I. Because the wanting comes, you know, always in a combination, I want, yeah, I like, I don't like, I dislike, yeah. Tomorrow I'm going to do, or yesterday I did this, yeah. This I, this ego, you know, I mean, is part of our, yeah, is part of our thinking and memories, yeah. If there is no thinking and no memories, there is no I. Ah, wonderful, you know, take a rest, you know, take a rest from this I. From the ego that constantly wants something, that is constantly dissatisfied with it. You have to take a rest of it. Yeah? And that's what you can do within samadhi. Once our concentration is good, then we're going to attack the kilesas. Yeah? They are the kilesas of greed and hate that are rooted within our illusion about the body. Yeah? So we have to destroy the illusion about the body that we... The first thing is, yeah, destroy the illusion that we are the body. That is the first illusion that we have to destroy. We are not the body. Yeah? The body doesn't know if there's a sensation coming in. Yeah? Who knows it? Yeah? Does the body know is there a sensation coming in? Does the body know, oh, I'm sick? Yeah? Who tells us I'm sick? Yeah? It's the knowing nature of the citta, you know, who decodes all these messages that come from the body, yeah, from the nervous system or from the brain system, you know, I mean, it decodes it into something that is meaningful. Just like any computer decodes, you know, the inputs, you know, into something that we see on the screen of the computer, be it a game or be it, you know, be it a video or be it, yeah, be it music or be it just text, yeah. The function of the computer is to decode the signals that are running, yeah? And it's just the same thing with us, you know? Our citta, you know, will decode the thing, and that's why it needs, first of all, it needs vijnana, and to know, you know, what kind of senses are coming in and when they are coming in, and then it needs memory, you know, to label them, to make an association with it, you know, and say, yeah, this is this. And it's, when we look at memory, it is not always right, yeah? I mean, when we sit there dark in our kuti, you know, and it's dark and there's a noise, you know, I mean, we are just playing guessing games, you know, what it is, you know, that causes this noise, yeah? And the moment, you know, it puts a label on it, and then we say, yes, yes, it is a snake, so we must be afraid, or it is this, or it is that, you know, and then we must be afraid or not afraid, and so on. Yeah? So memory and thoughts, you know, are creating all these troubles. And what is it, you know, in the body, you know, and this is the illusion that we are in the body, you know, but the chitta is not part, you know, it's not part of the body. Yeah? I mean, the lungs, the heart, you know, the skin, the flesh, the pus, the blood, you know, and whatever, the brain, yeah, the eyes, the ears, yeah, the nose, yeah, and the tongue, yeah, they are all parts of the body, yeah? But they don't know the senses that come through the tongue or through the nose or through the ears or through the eyes, yeah? It has to be decoded, yeah? And who is decoding it, yeah? And partly, you know, the memory, you know, it puts its label on. But, yeah, who knows these things, you know, what are decoded? I mean, if the computer decodes, you know, for instance, the signal says this is a video and nobody looks at it, what's the point? Huh? Nobody looks at it. Well, so who knows that? Yeah? I mean, even if the computer comes up with an analysis, you know, of what is going on, and if nobody looks at it, yeah? So there must be something that looks at the computation, yeah, or the decoding, and that is the chitta, yeah? And the chitta likes to play with it. Yeah? So the first thing is, you know, I mean, we have to understand we are not the body. Yeah? That the body is the body, you know, and it has sensations, it has, yeah, all these, you know, all these six senses, yeah. I mean, we have to understand that. Yeah? But not getting food is I feel, yeah, I see, yeah. That's where we get fooled. Yeah? I am sick. Yeah, that's where we get fooled. I am dying. Yeah, anybody remembers? You know, when he had a really bad flu. Yeah, or a really bad cold with high fever. Yeah? Every one of us, you know, thought, "Oh, I'm going to die. Oh, I'm going to die." Yeah. Once the flu was over, you know, nobody thought of dying. Yeah, it was gone. This thought was gone. But the moment, you know, I mean, the moment the body is not working very well, you know, I mean, we think we are going to die. Yeah, sooner or later we are going to die. So this is the investigation, yeah, that we have to do to understand that the body is not the chitta, huh? And that the body is not I. Yeah, it is called anatta, anicca, anatta, dukkha. Yeah? Anicca, you know, it is impermanent. Yeah, it is born, it will die. Yeah? So, whatever is impermanent, this cannot be us. Eh? Anatta is, no? Whatever I can see, whatever I can feel, whatever I can experience cannot be me, because who is the one who experiences it? Eh? The experience is the object, you know, and the one who experiences it is the subject. Eh? This has to become clear. We have to tell ourselves over and over and over and over again. Yeah? Just like at the moment, you know, the governments tell us over and over and over again, you know, you have to be afraid of COVID, you have to be afraid of COVID, you have to be... And then we start to believe it, yeah? And then we act according to our belief, yeah? And that is the same thing. So we have to deprogram ourselves and not believing we are the body. Yeah? The body is the body, you know, it is anicca, anatta and dukkha. And you know, it is a lot of dukkha. I mean, the moment we wake up, we don't want to, you know, we really don't want to get up, yeah? We want to turn around, you know, and sleep, go sleep on, you know? Sleep is the best, yeah? And then once we get up, you know, we are too lazy to walk, or we get hungry, and then we need to feed the body, and then we get thirsty, and then we need to drink something, and then we need to relieve ourselves of the shit, you know, and... And then we need to sleep because, I mean, the body gets tired. I mean, it is a lot of work, yeah? So there's a lot of dukkha just within the body, yeah? No, I'm not talking about the mental feelings. I'm talking only about the bodily feelings. So investigate the body and see that it is not you. Yeah? It's not me, it's not mine, it doesn't belong to me, yeah? That is the principle of anatta. And it's anicca, yeah? And get used to the notion that it's all anicca, yeah? I mean, we are born, when we are born, we are very small, you know, and then we grow older and become bigger, you know, and in the age, you know, we get smaller again, yeah, until we die. It's a function of the body, yeah. So, Anicca, yeah, it's impermanent. Yeah? Anatta, it's not me, it's not mine, it's not myself, it doesn't belong to me. Yeah? Whatever I can see, whatever I can feel, whatever I can experience cannot be me. Yeah? This is something that you really have to use over and over again because the kilesas, you know, I mean, how many billions of lives have you lived, you know, and the kilesas constantly tell you, I'm the body, I'm sick, I want this, I want that, yeah? And you start to believe that you are the kilesas, yeah? And now slowly you have to retract and see that the kilesas, they are just suggesting things, yeah? So when they start to suggest, I want this, you know, then due to our practice, or due to our more advanced practice, we are, yeah? Okay, if you want it, you know, go out and find it, yeah? I don't want it, yeah? Then you can withstand the kilesas or resist the kilesas. And once you can resist the kilesas, later on, through investigation, you can cut their head off and they don't come again. And the more heads you cut off of the kilesas, I mean, the more comfortable and the more satisfied you will be, and the more happy. If there are no kilesas coming anymore, I mean, we are happy all the time. No matter if it is raining, no matter if it is hot, no matter if it is cold. So, what was your question? Yeah? Of course you can go back to the parikrama, yeah? I mean, you should only really investigate pain when it is really disturbing. Yeah? Then it is strong enough, you know, to be an object, a constant object. Yeah? I mean, if it's just a little bit, yeah? Just a little bit, you know, that really doesn't bother you and you can stay with your Buddha, you can actually overcome pain like that, you know, within no time, yeah? But when it is strong, and when it is then ceasing, you know, to exist, then you go back, instantly go back to your... Yeah. You have to fight against these wishes, yeah? And see what is happening, yeah? I mean, Lungta Mahabua said to himself, you know, when he was sitting for 12 hours, you know, okay, if the shit comes out, let the shit come out. I mean, afterward.
I don't want to go to the toilet, but I almost didn't make it to the toilet because I was just sitting on my stairs, like,
you were, what?
When I got up, it started to hurt really bad. Like, obviously.
After sitting, it hurts really bad.
Yeah, way more than that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just no memory of...
No. Then you look at it, you know, and then you see it, you know, maybe, yeah, I mean, that is what is normally pain, you know, I mean, because you stress your body and so on. How long does it take, you know, to disappear? It does disappear.
Well, it was yesterday. I can still feel it, but it was not so strong. It was only strong for like 10 minutes.
I mean, how long do you sit? You know, I mean, it's a question, you know. I mean, if you stretch, you know, I mean, you remember, I mean, you're Swiss, or I mean, you're in the mountains, you went skiing. I mean, before going to ski, I mean, we had training classes, you know, every November or October, yeah? I mean, how much does it hurt afterwards?
Yeah. Huh? It's like when I cycle.
Yeah. I mean, yes, you know, I mean, a new position of the body, you know, I mean, will hurt, you know, until we get used to it, until the body, you know, gets used to it, you know, and then it won't hurt, yeah. So you have to investigate what kind of pain is it, you know, if it stays on afterwards, you know, I mean, then investigate what kind of pain is it, yeah. I mean, how long did I sit? Did I sit extremely long, you know, or unusual long? Then, of course, the body will have to adjust, yeah? But that adjustment is normal, yeah? I mean, just like, you know, we didn't have any problem when we wanted to go ski, you know, and so we took the precautions of going, you know, going through all these troubles, you know, to stretch all our legs and all our muscles. And afterwards, you know, I mean, you remember, you know, how much and how long the pain was there? Yeah? And then, but this we don't mind, you know. But when we sit in samadhi, oh,